And Kathy, whenever you're ready.
Thank you very much, Joe. I'm just going to get this out of the way here. Hold on. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm calling this Back Bay Architectural Commission public hearing to order at 5:03 p.m. on April 10th, 2024. You may participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link-in on our agenda posted online at https://www.boston.gov/public-notices/16107581 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering ID 946-0031-8971 # You may also submit written comments or questions to backbayac@boston.gov. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this hearing online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Back Bay Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press star 9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview.
All right, the commissioners who are present, I have Kathy Connor, Andy Champaterra, Tom High, Rob Weintraub, Tommy Nayer, Susanna Gaspar, and John Christensen. Have I missed any commissioners? Doesn't look like it. So with that, we will go to our first, we have two design review applications, and they are at neighboring properties. And we'll just say we will need to do two separate votes for each because they're separate applications. So, Kathy, would you like to?
Yes, thank you, Tom, very much, Joe. Excuse me. 161 Commonwealth Avenue is our first application. It's 24.0852. Is there someone here for 161 Commonwealth Avenue, please?
Hi, yes, this is Catherine Truman. I am the architect for the project and for the next one. I also have, I don't see here yet, but should be joining momentarily, if he's not here already, is Tony Salem from Cedar Construction, and also Colin Della Costa from TE2 Engineering. I see Tony Salem enter the waiting room.
Yes,
wonderful. I will thank you, Catherine. And Catherine, if you would hold on for just one moment, Joe is going to read the staff notes first, and then the floor will be yours.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you. Staff notes that 161 Commonwealth Avenue is a five-story row house built in 2010 to 2011 and designed by Ann Beha Architects. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the proposed location of the equipment is the most appropriate location as it will limit the equipment's visibility to views from the alley and Marlborough Street. The applicant should work with staff to identify a screening option that will be sensitive to the design and appearance of this building. And Catherine, before I let you share, I just want to walk through. Here are just some views I took recently. This is 161 Commonwealth Avenue here, and this is 163, which we will be discussing after this application. And here's a view from Dartmouth, and here is 161 and 63 next door. I really had to struggle to look and see any views of the mock-up. I could see a little tiny bit of one, and I don't think it even shows up in this photo around, I'm sorry, in this area in here. Here are the alley views. You could get a glimpse. This is 161 of the mock-up from the alley. This is 163. And here's 161, couldn't see it from this view from the alley, and 163. But you do have this view from Marlborough Street, where you have this open space between these buildings, where you can see the rear of the building here. This is 161, and that's 163. So, Catherine, I'll stop sharing, and you can go ahead and show your presentation.
Great, thank you. Let me pull up the screen. Okay.
And Ethel McLeod, Commissioner Ethel McLeod has just joined.
Okay, great. Should I just wait for?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay, great. So, my name is Catherine Truman. And the introduction I'll give for 161 will be very similar to the 163 issues, but we do have two separate presentations for them. So 161 is here, kind of just one building in from Dartmouth Street. I was the lead on it when I was at Anbeha Architects, which is why I'm the one now doing this project. So, because I'm very familiar with the building. The issues at play right now are we had an HVAC system that failed completely. And because the two buildings were both built at the same time with the same engineer and the same basic system, they have both failed at the same time. So we are looking at both of these to be doing a similar scope of work in order to fix the same problem. But because they are two separate addresses, one is a single family, one is three units, we have different systems and thus different applications. So this is the roof plan at 161. Commonwealth Avenue is here on the right, and the public alley is on the left. There's an existing copper-clad headhouse on the, I guess, south side. Much there, this is the front railing, our rear railing, and the two existing HVAC units are located here on the back. What we are proposing, and I will turn any technical questions. We have Colin Della Costa from TE2 here, who can answer the specific engineering issues for why we have to do this. But to replace the system, we need two new heat pumps on the roof, as well as a small buffer tank room. He can explain the engineering behind how the system works. Needs to heat and cool at the same time, and between that and a whole bunch of new code regulations of what we are allowed to do, kind of governs why we have to have this system in place. The two units are slightly larger than the ones that are currently there, and this dashed line indicates the clearances around them that are required for airflow and, to a certain degree, for access and maintenance. They also require this small buffer tank room, which is has to be basically protected from the weather. So it's like a weather-tight space. It will have a baseboard radiator heater to keep it from being like freezing in those horrible days in January, but it does need to be completely enclosed. Let's scroll down here to the next thing. So this is the back taken from a drone of 161 showing the mock-up. The two white units, I'll zoom in here, show the two existing condensers that are on the roof. They face, in the long direction, so you just see the two short ends. We tried to get the two new units to sit at least in the same orientation, but we can't. They're just that much bigger, and the clearances are just that much larger that we, in order to keep them behind the railing, we've had to rotate them. So the orange that you see on the top reflects the uppermost perimeter of the proposed two units. So that's we wanted to outline where the most visible element is. Same thing with the boiler, the buffer tank room. It's small enclosure. So we pressed and pressed and pressed at the TE2 team to make this thing as small as possible for the equipment that needs to go inside it, so that it could sit behind the existing decorative fence. We are also, this mock-up shows that these trees are, they're still there, but they have to come out, so they will be gone when these new pieces of equipment get in, because we need that airspace for the circulation.
Yeah, thanks.
So, yes.
The buffer tank room, will that be copper clad like the
Yes,
roof?
yes. And the intent here is that it's copper clad
Yeah.
to match the existing. Let's see. So then some of this covers what you've seen from the photos that were just put up. Depending, I guess, a little bit on your eye height, it's pretty invisible from the alley. There may be a someone with a slightly different eye height that might see something slightly different, but from this, I'm 5'10, I didn't see it. But as was noted, the kind of empty tooth in Marlborough Street does mean that it's significantly more visible. This is the same view, just zoomed in with the edge of the buffer tank. I mean, it really, where the intention here is it'll just look like an extension of the head house that already exists, and that these two will be taller and rotated.
Joe has suggested that there be screening which would help that particular view. Is there any technical reason why that would not work?
I don't believe so. And Colin, did you like to give
Yeah, no,
any
I believe there's,
reinforcement?
yeah, we should be able to put a screen up. I think as long as, the manufacturer's clearances are still left in place, we should be fine.
I guess the question is there enough room behind the new heat pump to for the clearance?
Is this on the backside or front
Yeah,
side?
on
Backside,
the
yes, certainly.
outside.
You guys still seeing my shared screen?
Yeah, it's it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry, I just had to do something changed on my. So to replace this length of fence with a screen.
Something like that, yeah. Maybe on the other
Yes.
side of the fence.
Yeah, I mean, we're it's I we were talking about this early this morning. I thought that the requirements for the commission were to have the fence here. Somehow we got it here. I don't actually remember how we did that. If we can go on the other side of it, would be, better. We get a little bit more free area around it. Alternately would be to try and replace this fence with something.
Could you
We're happy
move
to
the
try and screen it.
friend the fence, which is quite a nice fence. Could you move it a little further to the north so that you could have a little more clearance?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry, wrong one. We could absolutely move this. There's another sort of 18 inches or so. We could, come off here and just run it a little further in front here easily.
And then could you then rotate the units so that they face the other way and the way the units face today?
I would believe so.
Yeah,
Well,
I think
yeah. I
so.
mean, I think, sorry, it came to life. I do.
So on currently we'd have the services on one of the short sides, and then the chiller piping would come off the opposite short side. So you'd certainly need to, I guess, consider where you'd want the piping to be. You'd probably want the piping on the outside so that you don't have a person, relatively close to the edge. I suppose with the railing it shouldn't be a problem, but yeah, we definitely need to bump that railing out a decent bit.
Catherine, could you please describe these two units? Are they white and tall or dark, or, because I think their visibility will be sort of influenced by what their actual physical properties are.
Sure, I have. Sorry, I'm trying to get the cut sheet. Sorry, I can't see my tabs because something from Zoom has popped up in front of it. Okay, this is the cut sheet. This is the cut sheet for 161, which is it's just a line drawing. I do have an email from Colin earlier today that has a photo that I couldn't figure out how to make any bigger, but it is a large white unit. And Colin, I know you are still waiting to hear back from the manufacturer about the ability to paint any portion of it. I don't know if you
Yeah.
had any further news on that.
I think, it should be fine as long as we can leave it so that none of the airflow entrances and like the intakes and exhausts of the unit are obstructed. I think we should be able to paint it. But I'm still just waiting back to hear from the manufacturer because we'll have to hear on 163 as well. But I think it
Okay.
should be possible.
And I have a question about screening also. Are there particular materials that you have in mind for the screening?
Well, I would assume, and we did not. I'm happy to screen it. I mean, I would assume that it would be copper if we were to do that. And I would, you know, in an ideal world, would want to probably say create the edge of this head house, probably land the edge of this, like anchor a copper screen on one end and the other end, and then have the decorative fence in between them, which would seem to me to be the cleanest detail.
I agree.
I, you know, I wasn't, we didn't, the NAAB said they'd love to see it screened, and I was like, well, we'll see what the Back Bay Architectural Commission says about screening it, but we could certainly design something that would allow us to do that. And I think it would be cleaner if it's just, say, copper, decorative copper.
So I think the what I'm hearing is if you turn those are chillers, not heat pumps, right? They're like cooling towers. If you turn them the opposite way and you put a standing seam copper screen behind them, similar to that of the tank room, that would probably be acceptable to the commission.
I believe actually they are heat pumps. Colin, do you want
Yeah,
to?
heat pump chillers.
Heat pump chillers, yeah.
What's the height of them? How
They
high?
are
87 inches.
87, 87 inches tall.
87,
Mm-hmm.
which is make that into feet and
Seven
inches.
point 7.25 feet. Plus, they
Seven.
have to go on stands. Is that
Oh.
stunning?
On
Is
a
it
6-inch platform.
6-inch platform?
So
So
even if
seven
you
and a half
put a
feet.
screen in
Nine.
front of them, even if you put a screen in front of them, you're talking that same height?
Yes. So even if we put a, so this would, if we could put a screen that, I mean, in an ideal world, sorry, you may not be able to see the red as well. Like if this wall of the chiller, the buffer tank room pulled out, and then we ran, and then ideally, like if this was kind of the same height, that they looked like sort of a bookended little,
And you, yeah.
bookended little head house thing, and then this in
And
between was decorative.
yeah.
I mean, I'd be thrilled to do that. I think that would be great. And then we could turn them whichever way. I guess at that point we'd be turning them whichever way was the most space efficient. Or if we turn because if we turn them this direction, this is this high, you may see just a teeny little. You might see a teeny
Yeah.
little. But if we don't turn them,
You'll see
we
more.
could probably, well, we could keep the copper wall a little further back. But I'm happy to turn them and pull them the other direction with a copper wall.
I think to mitigate visibility from the alley, keeping the copper wall as far in as possible would be preferable. So I think the way you are showing these heat pumps running parallel to the street or to the alley is more likely. I think if, especially if it's screened, then I don't think it really matters whether you have two little heads popping up or one continuous one.
Right.
So I think how far out the whole shebang needs to come is more important than the orientation at that point.
And especially if you can paint them as well so that it's not white popping up above the copper.
That would just depend on where that particular element lands in the
Sure, I understand.
specifications. But yeah, I do think that if we were to build a wall, maybe the we'll certainly get these in plan. They'll be further away from the alley end if they're turned the way we currently show them in the plan. Because like obviously if we turn them, they will stick further towards the alley, so those be more visible. So we could make a kind of a smaller intervention with copper cladding if we keep them in this orientation. And then we can either, like we have minimized in this particular one, we have minimized this height based on the stuff that goes inside that room. What we could certainly do if we really want to screen them completely is figure out the height that screens them completely and then match it over here, which would probably just mean keeping this straight rather we have it kind of canted down and basically just kind of bookending two copper clad walls with a decorative screen in the middle.
It might be pretty
Pretty
high.
offensive. in the middle.
Okay, we can keep them low. I mean, again, we're sort of fighting geometry here.
Yeah,
I've been keeping it low, and it seemed from the cut that you shared that there's only just one top rail that would be visible, because below that there's a whole filter or something, or you know, a grill that is already dark. So it's really just that top eyebrow of this thing that would be, that you know, would be beneficial to be painted, because anything below is either dark already or not visible.
So if we kept it at that height, I'd be at approximately here. I think I've got those pretty well lined up with a new copper clad wall.
So I guess the question is symmetry important? And if it's not important, then we can keep the tank room much lower than the chillers.
Yeah, Rob, my feeling would be that the two screens should, or the tank room and the screen in front of it and the screen on the east side should be the same height. And if a little bit of the chiller shows above it, that's not as bad as having, if we had a different uneven, unsymmetrical set of screens. I like the idea of the two screens, the same height with the decorative railing in between.
Sounds like you're making a motion.
I'm in agreement, Tom, also.
I have a whole different take on this thing. I think turning it, so the ends face the alley is the right thing, because that's a minimum exposure, and get them far back as they can be and paint them to get them to disappear into the sky as much as possible. And then let the railing go by and the tank room remain as you've shown it, going down behind the railing is the preferred thing, because it's less, to me, it's less bulky looking. And also it becomes, the precedent of screening, I think, is a dangerous thing, particularly when we're getting up at such heights. The equipment has got to be what it is and paint it out, make it disappear into the sky.
I think my worry with that is that if you turn the units 90 degrees, then they come much further out than the chimney. So, you know, we're looking at some, you know, through the missing tooth. But when you're looking at it from the alley up and down, which is, I think, a whole lot more impactful than pushing those heat pumps out, is actually, I think, is not beneficial to the view from the alley itself.
I actually agree with John. The only thing I'm concerned is that if you cannot paint those units, and I think that will probably be the problem for not being able to screen it.
Well, I would think we need to find that out before we make the, you know, before we build a 7 foot high screen across that whole facade. You know, to me the thing looks pretty good, you know, at the alley. And I don't look up there much. If I do, I see it's, you know, okay, they've got the top there, and I think it's going to add impact.
And it looks like there's some kind of system. Is there some kind of cover above those two units? And do they need to be there? If they are not, I think it may look less intrusive as well.
I think that's the mock-up.
Yeah, the orange is the mock-up.
Oh, okay, good.
The white is the two existing units, yeah. And then the orange, this bar represents the top of the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks.
With this would be the rest of the orange would be here. Yeah. If it had been...
They don't have canopies on, do they?
No. It's just a very tall, skinny box rotated.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my preference, and I, you know, see where it goes.
One question, if you do rotate the equipment, that means the fence will need to be moved out closer to the alley. Is that correct, Catherine?
Yes. So what I was saying is if we left them this direction, then we could, I mean, I would, there's a, there may be a slight distance that we need to go, just because we need to support this copper clad fence. So there may be a little bit of space, because we We would have to, they would be less visible because they're not pushing forward this direction. So just their intrusion into that kind of cone of vision is going to be a little bit less if we keep them oriented this direction. So the fence could be a little bit tighter to them. And that's depending on how we want to kind of mock up that fence to show what you see or don't see. It could be lower or not.
But the fence would be more visible from the alley then.
The further you go this direction, the more it's going to be visible.
Yeah.
So if you screen it, there's no point in rotating the chillers.
Exactly. If you screen them, there's not really a lot to be gained by rotating them because the screen would either have to be higher to conceal them entirely or further out and thus bigger. So I think that the smallest impact is to keep them rotated this way and then have the fence. And then the next question is just how high should the fence try and cover everything or just neutrally screen the worst of it?
The screening of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I you know, our motion will have details to staff. So you'll work with Joe on the actual details. And with that said, I'm ready to make a motion.
Great. Thanks, Rob. All right, shall we go to public comment?
Yeah, I'm just going to bring up our script. So I'm just going to have to share my screen. Sorry about that. Yep. Kathy, can you see that?
I can. Thank you very much. All right. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which includes landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. I do see that Serge has his hand raised. Serge, how are you this evening?
Very good, Kathy. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on this one. We did review Serge Savard from the Neighborhood Association, and we did review this during our architecture committee, and we also looked at the project on site. There is not really a very easy solution, especially not seen from Marlborough Street. The two possibilities that we did see was rotating the unit and trying to hide them as much as possible. The problem is we didn't have the big detail of the photo, and we saw the photo that Catherine showed. And the other approach that we find in more of an exceptional case here, because of the visibility that these units have outside through Marlborough, would be a screen. But we do want to point out that the way the building is configured is there is this balcony at the lower level that hide right now, even the railing that is there is not visible because the railing is a little bit in, but also the balcony hides it. When we're going to go with a higher screen, obviously there's a chance that it will become visible from the alley. Right now, all what is proposed right now is not visible from the alley. It's only visible from Marlborough Street.
Thank you, Serge.
Thank you.
Anyone else, Joe? I don't see at the moment.
Sue Prindle.
Oh, hi, Sue.
Thank you. Yes, thanks. I just have a question on the removal of the shrubs. I understand that you want to remove the ones around the equipment, Catherine, but there are also some on the east side towards the front, towards Commonwealth Avenue, which are kind of a nice buffer next to the Webster House. And I was hoping that those were going to stay.
Let me look at the plan, the ones next to. So
right along the edge between you and the Webster House building.
I'm sorry, I don't know which the Webster House is. My apologies.
Tom, tell her about the Webster House.
Is this the Ames Mansion that's next to it?
Yeah, the mansion.
Ames Webster.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I always heard of think it was the Ames. I didn't realize Ames
it's,
Webster.
It's Ames apologies. Webster. Yeah. Give Ames credit.
Okay. I got the Ames part. I know that building is amazing. Although I haven't
apologies.
been So there are, if I share my screen again, I can just, it's always easier for me to work with drawing. Let me just share my, is it okay if I share my screen for a second again?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, great. Share screen. Okay. So right now there are, this is the existing plan, and there were trees, you know, plantings along here and here, as well as there.
It's that one, yeah.
But these ones can stay. And these ones are the ones that have to go.
That was my only question. Thank you very much. Thanks for all your work on them.
Thanks, Sue. Any others, Joe? I don't see. Did we have any emails also that came through, or?
No other comments.
Okay, great. Then let's go back to the motion. Rob, ready?
The motion is for approval with the following provisos, that the pillars remain in a horizontal orientation to the alley, that a standing seam copper screen be manufactured and installed of sufficient height to hide most of or all of the chillers, and on the tank side, on the right side, the screening will be of the same height as the chillers for symmetry reasons, and that the fence will remain in between the two, but not in front of, and all other details to staff.
Do we have a second for that?
I second.
Okay. All right. Kathy Connor?
Yes.
Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tandy Nair? Tandy, are you still here?
What's here?
Oh, she just gave the thumbs up. All right, sorry about that. Tandy, you should be able to unmute yourself now.
I am, thank you.
Great, thank you. Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
John Christensen?
No.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
And David Sampson?
I came in a little late, but I got most of it, so my answer is yes.
All right, great, thank you. So we'll move to 163 now, which is also Catherine.
Great, thanks, Catherine. You know the drill. Joe, would you like to read your staff comments?
Yes, staff notes that 163 Commonwealth Avenue is a five-story brick row house built in 1874 and designed by Charles Kirby. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the proposed location of the equipment is the most appropriate location as it will limit the equipment's visibility to views from the alley and Marlborough Street. The applicant should work with staff to identify a screening option that will be sensitive to the design and appearance of this building. So you can go ahead, Catherine, and share your screen.
Okay. 163. I did the Zoom share. Ah, there's the share button again. Okay, apologies. Okay, so good to see you all again. It's been a while. okay. So similar problems. 163 is just a little bit further to the west. This actually is a kind of a completely different thing. We have nothing on the roof. This is the aerial view that shows the mock-ups in place, just because we don't really have a full on before, but there's nothing on the roof except the head house for access and service to the units that are already up there. And for existing units, we have to replace these four existing units for the same reason. We have different combination of pieces of equipment because there's three apartments in this. So there's three separate units that have to be dealt with. So this is just another view of the roof deck with the existing chillers and the mock-ups. These are a couple more existing photos with Ed Connolly from CDAR flying the drone to take the photographs. But I'll start to the plans here. So the challenge with this was similar about what could you see and not see. And it seemed that this was going to be a much easier strategy because we have like a full blank canvas of places to work from. Shockingly, it actually didn't turn out to be that simple. So the first thing we did was we mapped out what we were calling like the zones. We started with the zones of invisibility. We ended up being like, we needed to call them the zones of visibility from each of the three different points, because although this doesn't seem like it's going to be super visible, it's incredibly visible. So the pink shows everything on this roof that's visible from Commonwealth Avenue somewhere. And we did this, Ian in my office, Ian Jackson in my office, who I think is somewhere on this call, and Ed Conley from CEDAR, and a couple other people went, and we had a post that had like an orange thing on the top that was the height of the pieces of equipment, and they walked around and could document where they could see this thing that was this height, to trace out where you could see something from combat. We also did this, I don't know, what, 6 or 8 weeks ago when there was like no trees visible. So we had kind of the full visibility of everything. So everything in pink is visible from Commonwealth Avenue somewhere. Everything in blue is visible from Marlborough Street. And everything with this little hash mark on it is visible from the public alley. When you overlay those three zones, you have this one little area in green visible. When we realized that we didn't have a really great strategy that was going to be invisible, we developed two options to sort of let you pick like the lesser of two evils, really. The first strategy was to kind of work within the general bounds of the situation we have, because as you can kind of see from this diagram, the units that are up there already are visible from Commonwealth Avenue. So option one was to kind of make this sort of mimic as much as possible what was there, but improve what we could. So option one has a new buffer tank tucked up, extending the existing copper clad head house, so it just gets a little bit longer, and then adds two of these new heat pump units in generally the same location as they are now, but they are tucked back closer towards the party wall to get them a little bit more out of view. They are still visible, but less so than before. Then we used the little zone of invisibility to put two units. We need to keep, you know, 3 feet of access, but we used this dotted line here, this shows the clearances that are required for the air circulation for these units. And then that leaves us with kind of one guy that we played around with where in this zone would make the most sense. We left him in the blue zone where he's visible from Marlborough Street. There'd be some argument that, you know, maybe if we tucked him over here, he'd be like, with a tree cover that you normally have, he might be less visible from Marlborough, but hypothetically in the winter visible from Comm Ave. So there is we could fungible that one a little bit. And then the second was to say, well, should we try and clear the Comm Ave view as much as possible and kind of push all the equipment to the backside of the building and get it, and just at least we clear Comm Ave, because it is somewhat visible from the LA, the center of Comm Ave. So we mocked both of them up, and that's what you see in these images. And the orange is option two, and the pink is option one. Where it really becomes, let's see, pull this down here. Well, we start with the easy one, which is like from the alley, you don't really see any of the mock-ups. Right. The challenge is when you get into the Marlborough Street side. This is looking at it from Marlborough. So in option two, you would see a couple of these pieces of equipment. We might be able to push them back so that, you know, there's a slight difference, but basically you see a little bit from here. This is a little bit of a kind of, if we'd been doing this in June, this would have been impossible thing, but, you know, we kind of decided to do this in the middle of the winter. So from Comm Ave, you can see them. In this case, this is the same photo, but zoomed in, where you can start to see how And I actually don't know off the top of my head whether this is the chiller tank or the units. I know it made sense when I did this, but you can start to see how you can see, like right now, you can see these units on the roof. You would see this orange over here is the new buffer tank. This pink would be a different one of these units. So it just kind of pushes the problem to the right a little bit. Same thing here. When you're coming down, where I'm walking like down inbound on ComEd, when we turn around, you can see this is what's existing there now, and see how like it would extend, and you'd basically still have equipment. Yeah, there you go. You can see a little sliver of how that's going to work, but you already see it. So we kind of leave it up to you guys, which is the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, it's basically aren't we seeing that option two really neither option one or option two are visible from the alley, correct?
Right, nothing is visible from the alley.
So if we can minimize or reduce the visibility from Commonwealth, that to me at least makes sense.
Right.
You know, when you get to Marlboro, I mean, okay, so maybe in Beacon Street you might be able to see it too if the light was right. The key, I think, is to minimize or eliminate the visibility from Commonwealth. So option two to me makes more sense.
I agree. I mean, you have three conditions that are somewhat unusual. One is you've got the width of Commonwealth Avenue. You've got basically a flat roof with no parapet. Then you've got the missing tooth on Marlboro. So it's incredibly challenging to make these things invisible from a public way. With that said, that's why we're here. So option two is the way to go. And the question is, do we need any screening on option two, or we just leave the chillers the way they are?
Well, the advantage of the screening would be, it would reduce a bit the impact from the Marlboro view, make it a little less mechanical perhaps, but this might be a situation where painting them is sufficient.
Right.
I vote for painting them. And I agree, option two makes sense. It's most logical.
Perhaps what we could do is say option two, and if they can be painted, then no screening. If they cannot be painted, then screening deferred to staff or remanded to staff.
Right.
Yeah. The problem is when we start screening of that height in that location,
it's going to be more visible. Yeah.
Right.
I'm ready to make a motion.
All right, I'm just going to share my screen. All right, Kathy, can you see the script? Oh, you're muted, Kathy.
I saw that. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press star 9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which includes landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. And I believe I saw Serge with his hand up.
Yes, good evening again. We also saw this presentation, and we need to actually applaud the amount of effort that the team here has done to try to find the best visibility. It's one of the most detailed view of doing this, and I think it's there was absolutely no perfect solution. And we did agree exactly and came to the same conclusion as most of the commissioners seems to come, that option two is better. And on the screening, I think we did think that if the units could be painted and kind of visible, it would probably be better. And if that's there's no way, then probably screening in this case would be maybe necessary. But given the fact that in any case that would not be visible, that screen would not be visible from the alley, which is normally where we look for all visibility, and it would not be visible from Commonwealth. And as long as these two are done, then you know the exceptional circumstances of the visibility of this is different than many other ones that the commission have seen.
Thank you, Serge. I don't see any others, Joe. Do you? Do you have any email that I don't have visibility to? Or
no other. I think that's the end of our comment.
Wonderful. Thank you. Then, John, let's go back to you for your motion.
Yes. I propose that we approve option two as presented with no screening, with the units being painted to match as much as possible with the sky or what's behind them, and that to work with a staff architect to see which is the best color to paint them out with.
Second.
All right. Kathy Connor.
Yes.
Andy Champaterra.
Yes.
Tom High.
Yes.
Rob Weintraub.
Yes.
Tom Vinayer. Tommy, did you get muted again? Not seeing her here. So why don't we go to Zena Gaspar?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
And David Sampson?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
All right, terrific. And this has been one of our shorter application overviews that we've had in a while. We're going to move on to administrative review and approval. And I'm going to pass my baton over to Robert because I happen to be featured in it and I have to recuse myself. Joe, should I leave or do I just mute myself? You tell me the best way to.
You can just mute yourself. That's fine.
Great. Thank you very much. And thank you, Rob.
My pleasure. So do you want me to just read this administrative review?
You can just ask for a motion to approve.
Yep. And then do we have a motion to approve the administrative applications?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
All right. So Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Tom Vinayer? Oh, I think she's left us. Zuzana Gaspar?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
And David Sampson?
Yes.
All right, Kathy, you can rejoin us.
Fabulous. That was so long and painful.
Dispenseful.
Thank you all. And then, Joe, I'm going to put it back to you as far as staff updates.
Oh, we have minutes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what? I couldn't find that page. So here we go. Let's do the ratification of 313 public hearing minutes. I'm going to recuse myself from that because I was not present.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll do a second.
All right. Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Stain.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
I wasn't here, Joe, so I have to abstain.
That's fine. And David Sampson?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Terrific. Now we'll move on to staff updates, Joe.
Yeah. I do think, we have been in kind of a lull with applications. I have been meeting with several architects and property owners on larger projects that I do think will be coming to us in the next month or so. So I think, this has been fun while we've had a quiet time, but I think that's going to end, but we'll see. This has been very unusual in all the time I've been here. But I do have exciting news. We will have a new commissioner joining us to take Lisa Saunders' spot next month, and that is as a member representing the mayor's office. And that will be Franklin Ross, and you'll meet him next month. He founded TriRock, which is a real estate management and development company based in Boston. So I think he's going to be a great addition to our commission here.
Great. Thank you very much, Joe. And it looks like that's all we have on the agenda. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. No, second.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. All
your attendance. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next month.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.